It's the final preview pod of the season. It all comes down to this. We discuss strategy in mini leagues, identify teams with things to play for, ponder selling KDB, and yes, Sam is in a very good mood. Well, this is the usual FPL podcast on a Thursday. But it's the Thursday after the night before. There is only one place. I'm sorry, Julian Laurent. I'm sorry, every other listener. I'm sorry, Manchester United fans as well. But we do have to start with Sam Bonfield. You support a team that won a European trophy last night. How are you feeling?
Champions of Europe, Kels.
Well,
champions
done.
Of Europe. 17 years. That's it now. No one can tell me that there's no trophies in my cabinet anymore. 17 years. I even went and put my shirt on for you. I didn't come with it on this morning.
I feel like I should almost take responsibility for that because Sam said, I'm going to tell people this. You probably don't want this in the podcast, but I'm going to say it. You actually slept in it last night as well.
I did.
And then you said you're taking it off for the podcast. And I was like, come on. If you can't wear a shirt the morning after your team have won a major trophy, the first for so, so long, when can you? And I just thought it would bring a smile to your face even more, which
That's
it has.
True.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, I have got my flag with me as well. Look, I've got this with me as well. Look, I'm actually a nightmare this morning.
That's a good screen.
I'm just a nightmare. Yeah, I know. Yeah, there you go. So we're very happy, us Spurs fans, this morning. It was a great evening.
It was indeed. And as I said in our WhatsApp group last night, in just, less than 2 weeks, Jules could support a European winning team. You could, or you already do. And I support a team that finished mid-table in the Championship. It's just how we
and
roll.
Fact, another manager.
I was going to leave that bit out, Jules, because, I'm trying to get that. Anyway, I'm going to park that there because there will be people listening to this that are just saying, get on with the FPL advice because, of course, just one more game week to go. Game week 38, it all comes down to this. One more opportunity to save your season, to finish in the rank you want to finish in, or to beat that person in your league that you've been neck and neck with, Julian Laurent. I'm looking at you.
I know.
I'm still a bit nervous. I've extended my lead. I'm still a bit nervous. Let's start, shall we then, with how last game week went. There was just a point between myself and Jules. Jules, do you want to let us know what that gap is now?
Yeah, because I made a few phone calls because I didn't want to overtake you, Ked. So I wanted you to, because you know how much I like you. So I wanted you to stay ahead, certainly until this last game week. So I said to William Saliba, listen, just do me a favor. Come off at halftime. There's no need. You know, I said to Ruben Dias and Mateus Nunez, just make a mess of that last chance for Bournemouth and that guy
I have never
heard
celebrated
of.
A goal like that wasn't for my team, by the way.
Oh my God. Jebison, who, I mean, I don't even know who the guy is, but like, I was in Paris at my parents and my stepmom knows nothing about FPL or about football in general anyway. So me trying to explain to her that this goal was really bad for me, but not really that bad, but still bad. But it was very funny. But yeah, that late Bournemouth goal cost me 10 points or something or 11 points.
I know, I was counting it. Jules, I might put this on my Instagram for anyone that follows me. I took when you check someone's team and it has a certain point and then the clean sheet's been wiped out. So you were on, I don't know, 40 something points. And then you press refresh and then it takes those points off. We've all been there. It's a horrible moment. I did it with your team. I went on and I was like, 48 points. Refresh. And then you lost like 8 points. I've got it on my phone saved.
That's so sad what you do, to be fair. But anyway,
Jules,
instead
I've
of having 54,
season.
55. I know, me too. But this sums it up, to be fair. And you know what? The worst is that watching that game and City were cruising, they were 3-0 up. And okay, Van der Sar hit the post before, but Bournemouth are on holidays. But I had a feeling that they were going to score. I knew there was a score. There's a long throw by Semenyo 2 minutes before the goal where I'm thinking like, okay, the goal is coming now. And then didn't happen on that long throw. But then I knew it and it was inevitable at some point. This sums up my season really well. So 43 points instead could have been better. But I'm also happy that you're still ahead of me.
We did take the same -4 pretty much, didn't we? I wasn't sure if you were going to, but I took a -4 to bring in Ollie Watkins, as you did as well. We both captained him. Sorry if you heard that noise, by the way. A massive lorry going past my window. honestly, my house is full of sounds. Lorry that way, child that way. So we kind of cancelled each other out with our moves. And I kind of regret that, to be honest. But anyway, is what it is. So 43 points for Jules. I got 61. We did both take a -4, though. So 57 for me, 39 for Jules. So the gap between us now is 19 points. So it's still not cut and dried. There is still a big opportunity for Jules to have a big final day finish and overtake me. But a green arrow for me, which has been quite rare recently. Sam, what about you? I think you're going to be quite frustrated with your game week. Yep, shaking your head.
I am fuming, absolutely fuming. Brian Embomo, Mr. 11 penalties scored. And so he scores a goal. I'm thinking, perfect, because everyone else has gone for Watkins captain. And actually, Friday night was awful. Like, I don't know about you, Kels, but there's nothing for me. One of the worst things about FPL is when there's a couple of games on and you don't really have anyone playing in them. Like, I only had Morgan Rogers on Friday night. And so I knew that nothing good could come of that.
You're chasing immediately, aren't you, basically? There was nothing positive
going to happen.
Yeah.
So I immediately knew that I was going to be on a massive red. And then it's just, I've got to get through Saturday and the FA Cup and no games. And obviously hope that Sunday rolls in and they can make up. So the Brentford game kicks off and Bamo scores. And I'm thinking, perfect. That's an early goal for my captain. Happy days. That's going to be a massive lift. 5 minutes later, he gets a penalty, and I'm thinking, this is perfect. Like, this is dreamland now. By the time we get through like half an hour of this game, he's going to be on a brace. He's going to have all three bonus points locked in because of it. And then he missed the penalty, and I just lost my mind. We were on our way home from watching Max play grassroots football, and I just lost my mind in the car because it was just one of those where I was like, I cannot believe that you've missed that penalty. And then I was like, please let them retake it. Like, you know, somebody's got to have been encroaching, surely. They hadn't. But yeah, and it was just one of those really frustrating ones. And then, like Jules was saying, Gvardiol loses his clean sheet, and that's a frustration. I sold Marmoush rather than Isak. So when Isak's then not in the squad, I was like, well, that's clearly going to go badly. Marmoush is definitely going to score now. The only shining light, I mean, actually, it wasn't that terrible a game week. It was fine. I got 52 and I didn't take a hit. So it's fine. The only saving grace and the shining light was the Jamie Vardy goal. Because as soon as they said there's been a goal at Leicester, I was like, that'll be my Vardy party. And it was. So that did make me feel better about my penalty missing captain, at least.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed Friday night because, of course, I had Ezri Konsa, 15 points for him, a lovely big haul to kind of set me on my way. And that was pretty much the difference between myself and Jules.
Did you moan the week before that you actually had Konsa or something like that? I think
probably,
you were quite... Yeah, back towards him, and then he got you 15 points. So here you go.
Love him.
He
amazing
made up
man.
Now.
Yeah.
Plays for England as well. Love him. You know what I'm like with England players. Okay, then, so that's our mini league. But Sam, I'm not going to let you get away with this. I'm not going to move on without reminding the listeners that there's someone else in our mini league. He's not on this podcast as often as he was, of course. Our good friend Ian Irving, who so kindly stepped in when I had my little girl last season and is still a regular voice on this pod. Should have got him on today, really, or should have got him to send a voice note because what's happened, Sam?
Well, he's 1 point ahead, but we do have a trophy and he doesn't. So, you know, I'll let him have the point.
Fair enough. That's
to be fair, he wouldn't have wanted to come on today, would he, anyway, if I even had asked him?
No.
Would not have been.
And he wouldn't have wanted to deal with me this morning. So
brilliant,
I think
I'll
let him have the 1 point because I'll get it back again this week. It just means that I'm just, you know, going to have to work a little bit harder in game week 38.
Jesse, Francis, Toby, whoever's editing this after, please can we clip that up for Sam's social media because I think she'll quite like that. And that was a brilliant response. He making up his point because we've got the trophy. No, that's brutal, isn't it? Okay, then on to the FPL Pod Mini League. Believe it or not, we're all in quite a good mood today because of, I think Sam's energy is radiating through to us, but we do have a big game week to look ahead to. So once I've got on with the FPL Pod Mini League update, I promise you we'll give you some advice or we'll try our very best to anyway. So it is getting very tense at the top because Max's lead at the summit has been cut to just 3 points. He got 49 points. Joshua Bevan, not sure how you say that, sorry, got 69. So made up 20 points on him, which, as I said before, shows that anything is possible for Jules on the final day. Now, Josh didn't make a transfer heading into game week 38 as well, which means he has two frees going into the final showdown. Josh is 10 points ahead of third place Ian Roylance, who is in turn 21 points ahead of Jake Poplawski in fourth, and 22 ahead of Eamon Alama, who is in fifth. I also want to give a big shout out to Ollie Sly, his team, Van der Venger Boys. I like that name. He went from 25th to 12th. He played his assistant managership on Hertzler, who got 19 points in Brighton's win over Liverpool. It is definitely still all to play for as we enter the final week of the season. So just to recap, then Max Littleproud on 2697, Joshua Bevan 2694, Ian Roylance 2684, Jake Poplawski 2665. I'm blind as a bat if you're watching on YouTube. Sorry about me peering. Eamon 2664. Okay, I'm not going to go any further. It's tight even below that, but you don't need to see me squinting into my screen anymore. The very best of luck to all of you guys, and thank you for competing in our league throughout the season. We've loved watching it change at the top, and we're cheering all of you on. We're totally impartial. Anyway, Talking of mini leagues, this is what it all comes down to, as I said. So strategy going into the final game, it will be very different depending on kind of where you are in your mini league. So for example, I might be looking at Jules thinking, okay, do I want to mirror what he does because he's got to do something different to get those 19 points back on me? Or do I want to really go for it? Jules is probably going to really go for it because that's all he knows what to do, really. Sam, maybe. I think Sam's going to want to try and go for it because she wants to finish inside the top 100K. But it completely depends, doesn't it, on what everyone else is doing around you. Sam, how do you view this going into what is the final game week?
I think you have to think really carefully about what you actually want because, and there might be a few managers out there that are quite conflicted because you can want to win your mini league, and if you're already winning it, that then maybe you want to play a little bit safer to ensure you stay there. But if you're also at the same time not happy about your overall rank and you want to improve that, you're probably going to have to make some tough decisions. And I spend most of the season, I don't really think about what everyone else is doing around me. But going into game week 38, I spend a disproportionate amount of time looking at the teams of those people around me that I want to beat and thinking about what they're likely to do with their teams ahead of the final week. And therefore, do I want to try to combat that by having, you know, somebody else? Like, for example, there's 10 points between Lee and I at the moment. And obviously, I really, really want to win that battle.
Really?
And really. I do.
It's another trophy for you if you do.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm 10 points behind him. So I need to do something a little bit different. But we've got players that are kind of similar but different. Like I've got Kvaratskhelia, whereas he's got Diaz. So I just need to consider how I differentiate my team a little bit from him. And at the same time, I've hit the point, Kels, where I don't really mind if I now tank my rank. I'm really not happy with it.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
So now I just go for it and try and get in the top 100K is going to be my strategy, I think, for this final week.
Jules, you're just going to go for it. You don't know any other way.
Yeah. But to be fair, last season when I was doing obviously very well, much better and et cetera, it was a bit different because you're right. You don't want to. But for me, it was all about the mini leagues, to be fair, because you overrank. If you can get above a certain benchmark that you have, it's great if you want to be top 100K or 200K, regardless, depending on where you are now, that's fine. But really, if the most important is that you beat your friends or you beat your family members or you win that mini league from your barbers or I don't know, like me from the football or you know, this is what you want really, because the overall rank is great because you can say I finished 100K in the world 1 year, all of that. But really, it's the mini leagues that matter the most. So make sure that this is the most important in whatever you do this weekend. Who you bring on, who's behind you, who's in front of you if you're not top, and how you can make up that ground or make sure that you keep your advance in that mini league. So I'm looking at you, Kels, and obviously we have the same front three. So whether Isak can play or not, but even if he can play, there's one of those three that I need to change, really, because I'm not going to make up the 19 points that I have behind you.
Captaincy, you go different on your captaincy and it pays off, that could work.
True, but often the captaincy has to be on the forward because otherwise it's more difficult to make up the ground. For 19 points is quite a lot, to be fair. It's not that much, but it's not 5 points. It's not the 1 point between Ian and Sam. So
Ezri Konsa got 15 points is all I'm reminded you of. All it takes is one
pick. But that's not
going to
happen every week. Yeah.
I hope so. I hope it happens this week. That'd be great. but I do take your point. Once that's what I mean. If Bournemouth hadn't scored late on, by the way, Daniel Jeberson had a loan spell for Watford earlier this season. It didn't go very well, but all is forgiven because he scored that goal that is potentially going to mean I finish above you. When you said you hadn't heard of him, I had.
That's incredible.
But the difference is that 8 points, I was quite nervous because I would have been like 10 points ahead of you. Whereas all of a sudden, like, I'm not joking when I said I celebrated it because it kind of, you're right, that the difference between 10 and 20 points is quite big. That said, I feel like you might be replaying this back to me in a week's time when you've actually beaten me because it's still gettable, still very gettable. Thank goodness you don't have any chips left. That's for sure. Okay, then let's focus in on, well, we don't need to do any long-term planning, do we? It all comes down to this one game week remaining. So you only need to look at this literal fixture. I think we said it a few times on the pod as well. It comes down to which games have something on them. And it's really, isn't it, all about the European slots. Everything else is done. We could say there's going to be a party at Liverpool, a double party really for Liverpool and Crystal Palace. So maybe that will change the atmosphere there. But yeah, what games are you targeting in on, Sam?
I mean, Nottingham Forest Chelsea feels like it's got potential to be game-changing in FPL, but also obviously in terms of what happened in the European slots, because both of them two teams wanting to try to secure Champions League football for the new season. So that game feels so important from a Premier League stance, but also from a FPL stance. And I look at that and I've got Matt Sells in goal, who, I mean, I hate saying bad things about Matt Sells because he's up there for the Golden Glove. But since I've owned him, he has just been the biggest frustration. I mean, so what is with me with goalkeepers this season, but they are just infuriating to me. Every time I own them, they're terrible. And then I get off them and they suddenly start keeping clean sheets left, right and centre again. It's just so annoying. But I don't have an attacker in that game, and I have no Chelsea players either. And both of those teams are going to need to score, and both of them are going to need to be trying to get a win over the other one. So the likes of Chris Wood, Elanga, Gibbs White, Chelsea's harder. It's really difficult to know where to go there. And like a lot of people went Palmer last week and it just didn't go very well again. So it's more difficult. But I think for me, that's the game that I'm looking at and thinking I'm probably really underinvested there. And it's quite tough because it's kind of like, well, do you go for one of the more obvious ones and just pick the side that have got the potential fight? Or do you pick this one, which has got massive fight written all over it, but you got to pick a side. And
could it not be quite cagey as well, though, when I look at that kind of game?
I agree.
Do you know what I mean? The shackles aren't off. And sometimes we see on the final day, I mentioned Liverpool Crystal Palace before. Maybe the shackles are definitely off, both of those teams, really. But Liverpool in particular, they're celebrating with a trophy. So that's what makes me a bit nervy about these games. How are you feeling about those games, Jules?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think the Crystal Palace Wolves game that we saw in midweek, for example, is such an end of the season game, right? And and it's because there's goals, because there's players who obviously want to play but want to have fun, already thinking, as we often say, about the holidays and this. But this is why, and that's why game week 38 usually has the highest goals scored in the whole season, isn't it? We always finish with like 45 goals scored in 10 games because it's just open doors everywhere. So that's why I'm looking maybe more, not so much at the games with a lot at stake, because even the Manchester United Aston Villa game for Aston Villa is huge because they can qualify for Champions League. Manchester United don't want to play football anymore after what happened in midweek and the season that they've had. Really, they don't want to play. They won't want to play. They won't want to be at home facing their own crowd of very unhappy fans. So for Villa, I think this could be great. So you could look at Villa and thinking, I want Konsa and I want Watkins and I want Rodgers and I want Martinez in goal, because I don't even think that right now Manchester United can score a goal, as we saw in the final against Sam's team. So you look at that, but you also look at the Southampton-Arsenal game and really have to feel that Arsenal can go there and just smash them. Even the Bournemouth-Leicester game, where Leicester have done the Vardy party. They've partied probably all week with Jamie Vardy. And now Bournemouth are home to finish on a high after a historic season. You could easily see Bournemouth smashing them as well. So it's just those games that I think are probably a little bit more for us to get into.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because there aren't actually that many games that either aren't going to be a party atmosphere or have something, a potential for loads of goals. Like even Bournemouth-Leicester, there's nothing really on it. But it feels like Bournemouth are going to want to cap off a brilliant season. Yeah. They're great at home in front of their fans. There could be loads of goals there. Leicester have had their big goodbye to Jamie Vardy last week. Even like Wolves-Brentford, obviously Brentford have that outside chance of European football, but it just feels like I look through the fixtures and the only game where there's not really anything on it is Ipswich-West Ham, I would say. That's the only one where I can't see which way that would go, and I wouldn't want to invest in either of those two teams. Personally, I wanted to focus in on Newcastle versus Everton because a lot of us are heavily invested in Newcastle, Sam. I mean, I never want a team to lose, honestly, but the result last weekend for Newcastle made me feel a little bit more optimistic about Alexander Isak's chances of making this game on the final day. I know he was kind of rested, but they need to win.
By the way, did we know he was not going to be in the squad? Or was that a surprise? Did they lose him on the day of the game? Or did I miss something? Okay, right.
No, it was a surprise.
I thought I was going
to. For once, he didn't.
It was frustrating because I would have sold him rather than Marmoush if we'd have known that he was in. So annoying.
Yeah.
So I've only got Isak from Newcastle because when they played out their double and then obviously had the blank, I sold Livramento. And then a few weeks ago, I sold Jacob Murphy in order to bring in Brian Mbeumo. And actually, those decisions have gone quite well for me over the course of the last few weeks. So I'm not mad about them. But it does now mean heading into this one that I am kind of thinking, well, you know, like you were saying about the Vardy party all week. It feels like the Goodison party, like Everton season finished with Goodison Park last week, didn't it? Like they haven't really got anything left to fight for now. And Newcastle really do, but they still haven't secured it. So I guess the question is, what do we do with Isak? Do we hope that Eddie Howe gives us some categoric truth in his press conference? But he doesn't have a habit of telling us exactly what's happening. He kind of tends to skirt around things. Because if he's fit and he plays, then you want him for that game for sure. But if he's not fit and can't play, then I'd far rather have Ollie Watkins instead for the game that he's got against Manchester United. So I am quite torn on the Newcastle one. Maybe a Newcastle defender might be the way that I go this week, because I feel like they're quite heavily owned and I don't have one.
Jules, what are you thinking about Newcastle?
I think Isak has to play. Yeah, I think Isak has to play. The only thing I would say about it's about Murphy. For all the Murphy owners like me, I still own him because he's been great. And to be fair, I always thought I can put him on the bench anyway. The change of formation for Newcastle and playing with a back 3-9 and having Murphy as a right wing back, really, that's what he is. So a lot of defending to do, certainly much more than when he was just playing as a right winger in the 4-3-3 formation that they've played all season until the last couple of weeks or so. He just doesn't have the same output going forward because you've got Barnes and Gordon as well as Isak or Wilson as a number 9. Mm. And that has changed his game. And he hasn't been obviously as decisive going forward with the ball than he used to before. So if you have Murphy, would you play him? I think this is a game that Newcastle will win and probably not concede, etc., etc. But Murphy won't have, I think, the same impact offensively than he used to be. And that's and the reason why I think a lot of us brought him in the team and was he was very good for us. So Murphy's the only one. Byrne and Isak for me that who I own, a no-brainer. Murphy, I'm not sure if I put him on the bench or start him just for that new position reason.
Mm. Okay, so we've kind of covered off Fulham versus Manchester City. Sam, are you selling Kevin De Bruyne this week?
That was the plan. The plan was to have Saka for this week. I really like that Arsenal fixture. But then there is part of me that goes, well, and I think, it felt like an ending, didn't it? The Kevin De Bruyne thing. The question for me now is that now Arsenal have secured their football for the new season, am I better to go somewhere else? A bit more punty, somebody, you know, that's got something in their game to play for. Like, am I better to do that? Or even, you know, should I be looking at one of the, like I did off the bench earlier on in the week with Harry, and we spent quite a long time talking about Arsenal and, you know, the potential. Do you still go for Saka or do you actually go for somebody different? Like we saw Havertz come back into the fold again in game week 37, Rice with another ridiculously good goal. Like, am I better off to go for a bit of a different Arsenal player instead? Like, but Kevin De Bruyne, I think I'll sell.
What about you, Kels?
Yeah. You're trying to get inside info, aren't you?
No. It's just, no, because it's interesting. Like, but yeah, I mean, not yet, because I'm not going to get KDB if you don't get it.
Yeah, but no.
But you might get Saka.
Yeah, I think I'll sell him.
Saka, but you can also sell him.
I think I'll sell him because he's been a really frustrating own. It did feel like a bit of an end last week. I now know he's going to return because I'm going to sell him. But I don't know. It's a lot of money in someone that hasn't. I got him too late, really. I missed the returns and I kept that slot. I took the -4 last week and left exactly enough in the bank to be able to. The reason I didn't do Isak to Watkins was obviously, firstly, I thought Isak was going to play. But secondly, I also knew that I would then have to take the -4 this week to be able to get Saka if I wanted him. And I'd rather take the -4 last week to have 2 weeks for it to pay off. It didn't even pay off last week and it's probably not going to pay off this week. So that's irrelevant. But yeah, I've set myself so that if I want to go for Saka, I've got enough money in the bank. But do I try and go a bit different from you, Jules? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Mind games are real with you two today.
When you talked about you celebrating when Daniel Jebison, your new best friend, scored, when KDB missed that sitter, I celebrated, of course, because by then, and I would have scored that. I would have scored that chance. You would have scored that chance, Kels. And he missed, and I was like, "This is it. This is the sign. You know, it's not going to be his night, my night with Edison and Gvardiol." And in the end, it was not my night.
Yeah, okay. So Manchester City, most people will just go in with Gvardiol. If I sell KDB, I'll go in with none, which feels a little bit weird given the fact that they kind of need to win. But I think I'm okay with that. Manchester United versus Villa. I thought Jules made a really good point about the atmosphere and, yeah, Villa need to win. So if you are trebled up on Villa, if you did your -4s last week like I did, Sam, feels quite sensible, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I feel still heavily underinvested in Aston Villa, as I did going into Friday night's game against Spurs. And I was very torn, a bit like you were just saying, Kelsen, and I was interested to hear you talking about the minus four thing. And I was the same, and I was thinking, oh, if I could do Isak to Watkins this week, but I really wanted Vardy. So then I'd been on minus four anyway. And then I was thinking, well, actually, next week, then I'm talking about finding budget to go from, because if I'd have done Isak to Watkins, I wouldn't have had the money to go KDB to Saka. And so then I was like, oh, then I'm on another minus four, and I didn't really want to be taking back-to-back minus fours. But it has meant that I'm looking at this game, and actually last night, for all of my Spurs bias, leave that aside for a second, but last night felt quite important for what happens on the final day, because obviously had the game gone the opposite way around and Manchester United had a trophy to parade in front of their fans on the final day, it does make that game have a slightly different feel to it than it would have done now, because they're going to go back there. The players are obviously very despondent. The fans will be very despondent. Whereas Aston Villa go into it the complete opposite, knowing that a win and they're back playing Champions League football again, probably next season. And that's kind of would sum up a fantastic season for Aston Villa. And Emery knows exactly how to play those kind of, it's almost like a final, right? On the final day of the season. And he knows how to win stuff. So yeah, I'm looking at that thinking, I don't have anyone at Villa apart from Morgan Rodgers, and that feels like a mistake. So again, if I need a defender, and I've obviously got Saliba in my team, if I need a new defender, then a Villa one doesn't seem like a bad idea given what happened with you guys last week. Although, Jules, your Villa defender didn't play, right?
Yeah, he was in, yeah. I brought him on, a long time ago, and when I saw Madsen starting, I was like, the only thing I would like is Ding not to come on for 2 minutes at the end and get a point. And I don't know why. It's not that I don't know why. I think against Spurs at home and you go for the more attacking left back of the two in Madsen can make sense. Do you do the same at United? Maybe. I'm not going to not keep Ding, and I'm going to start Ding in my team and then hope that he starts at United. And if he doesn't, I don't think he will come on, and then I will have another sub coming off the bench as a defender. So that could still work. But I was only half surprised, to be fair, that Madsen started against Spurs.
Yeah, and I think it's difficult that though, isn't it, Kels? Because you're then like, well, what? Like the Villa defence, it feels like if you're going there, you've got to go for Martinez, and then making a goalkeeper change on the final day of the season just does not feel like something I want to do. Or you go for Konsa, which is obviously I kind of feel like I'm too late with that now. I've missed that hole. That hole's done.
He's not going to do that every week.
No, so actually the best bet is probably to go for Watkins. But then if Isak's fit, I'm actually really happy with my front line. So apart from obviously Jamie Vardy, but then he's cheap. And getting from Jamie Vardy to Ollie Watkins is not going to be easy.
Did you bring in Jamie Vardy? Yeah, did you bring him in knowing you were going to bench him this week or with plans to sell him? Because like you said, he's very hard to get to anyone else from. But I know you've got money in the bank.
My plan was to bench him. That was the plan, because I knew that I was going to do, or my plan originally heading into this week was to do KDB to Saka for game week 38. So in my head, I was like, right, I've got a midfield five then. I'm going to definitely want to play all five of them. So it doesn't matter if I have Jamie Vardy, because he can just go on the bench. He can go in the third bench slot, and that's absolutely fine, because I'll play Isak and Wissa up top, both of them with things to potentially play for. So ideal. But the problem I've got now is that obviously Isak's a doubt. Saliba's flagged, having gone off at half time. So I'm looking at my team and thinking, goodness, that bench slot that I've burnt with Jamie Vardy is looking a little bit more problematic, because if I lose both of them, then I have no bench whatsoever. And we, as we well know, on the final day, we do see rotation that we're not expecting. So I do feel like I need to really carefully consider the press conferences this week, because making what would be a luxury move to go from KDB to Saka is fine, but then I've probably still got to take a minus four to make sure that everything else is okay.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? I was surprised when I saw you made that transfer, and you said it on the pod, but obviously after the pod, we got the news that he wasn't going to play this game week. So I was surprised. What would you say to people? A lot of people, if they went a bit punty last week, they went for either Vardy or Beto, didn't they? What would you say to them, Sam? Just bench him this week?
Yeah, if he went better, you were so unlucky though. Two goals ruled out for offside, like, should have hauled. Yeah, and I think it's the same. Like, if you've got Beto, obviously, and like I did with Vardy, you go into it with your eyes open, right? You know that the final day of the season is not great. You've gone for the romantic Goodison Park last game pick, Vardy's last party pick. But you know Vardy's definitely not playing in 38, and Everton have got a horrible game against Newcastle in 38. So I think, yeah, you just stick Beto on the bench. If you've got money in the bank and you can afford to go from Beto to, I don't know, Marmoush, or to even Wissa if you haven't got him yet, or if you've got a lot of money and you can afford to get up to Watkins, then do that and play the front three. But if you're at that, like I am with Vardy, where I'm kind of looking at it going, there's not really anyone I can easily afford to get to, particularly if I want to invest more heavily in Saka in the midfield, then I'm just gonna bench him.
I'm really happy with my front three. I kind of feel like if Isak plays, I've got Watkins, Isak, Wissa. Like,
it's the good front three.
That's a pretty, and watch them, none of them return now. But yeah, it feels like that's one of the stronger front threes. There's plenty of problems throughout the rest of my team, but that, such as Saliba. Jules, let's talk about William Saliba then, because we can all get excited about Southampton versus Arsenal, and we'd all probably like to treble up on Arsenal. We would like to have an Arsenal defender. I mean, I've got Raya, so it's okay, but a lot of people like yourself, got Saliba, he's not going to play.
No, he's not going to play. He'll also miss, by the way, the Nations League with France, which is a massive blow for us. But anyway, for our game, the idea I have with my free transfer is just swap him for another Arsenal defender, because I've got Saka already and I could go for another attacking player for Arsenal. But then I think I'm not too comfortable with that. I think if I go for Lewis Kelly, for example, who I expect to play, that game away at Southampton, and can maybe even have an attacking return because he plays more like a midfielder really than a left back. I think that could be maybe a good idea. To be fair, Kels, I would have liked to have gone to Raya. I just have, I'm 0.1 sure with what I've got in the bank.
Take a minus four.
Yeah, that's a good idea, isn't it? Yeah, I'll let you do that for another of your positions, but I'd probably go for Miles Lewis-Kelly instead of Saliba.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Anywhere, any other teams that you want to mention? Do you want to mention Spurs, Sam? Because, I mean, you can say they've won the Europa League trophy. It's going to be a party atmosphere, but will that translate into FPL?
Oh, God, those cows. I mean, Son said he's going to miss the flight home. Like, if you listen to the interviews, they were all over the place. I think it will be... I mean, it's going to bounce. The Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is going to bounce on Sunday for the first time in the first time in a long time, the Spurs fans are going to be very happy on Sunday. What do I think will happen? I think there's more incentive now for Spurs. They'll go into that game absolutely buzzing. There'll be some confidence that I think they'll play a little bit more free of consequence or worry in that one. So, yeah, I mean, and the Brighton defence has not been solid. So I can see goals for Spurs in that one. So if you want to go for a punt on a Spurs attacker, then absolutely, why not? That's the kind of feelings game, isn't it? That's not I've got something massive to play for here. That's a vibes pick, like Jamie Vardy was last week, like the Goodison one was last week. Oh, always. Always. Brennan Johnson, yeah. Yeah, I would quite like to do that.
By the way, because Lewis Kelly is a midfielder in the game, so he can't replace Saliba directly, but that was the idea.
Producer Jesse just texted you as well.
Yeah, which is true. I'd forgotten to be, but I looked it up the other day and I was like, okay, so maybe a Kivior, maybe somebody like that. I don't know. But yeah, I like the idea.
Do you think the Arsenal defence will still be all right without Saliba and Timber?
Good point.
I know it's Calafiori, Southampton, but...
Yeah, Calafiori did really well when he came on for Saliba at halftime of the Newcastle game, which was a huge game, and Arsenal didn't play well in that first half, and I think Calafiori made that team better, to be fair, in the second half. So yeah, I see.
I feel like we've been all over the place with the games during this, because it feels like there is so much to talk about and we keep being reminded of other things. But I did just want to point out Wolves versus Brentford do still have that outside shot of finishing the European places. Loads of us have got Mbeumo. I've got Mbeumo and Wissa as well. In fact, I've got Van der Berg as well, but he's going to be on my bench this weekend, I think. Wolves with Cunha. A lot of people, Sam, are very invested in Cunha, or very invested. They've got him in their team. And then he didn't start last game week, did he? So if you had Cunha now, would you be panicking?
Yeah, because probably. And Cunha's not an easy get from him to Watkins either. And I think that's the problem. If you've got Cunha and Isak in your team, and maybe, or if you've got Cunha and Vardy, or you've got Cunha and somebody along those lines, then probably I wouldn't be that keen on it. I think it's the last home game for Wolves of the season, potentially Cunha's last game. I don't think I'd be thrilled about having Cunha in my team, and that would probably be a player that I'd be looking to transfer out, particularly as Brentford, obviously, it's not guaranteed that 8th in the league will get European football, and it's not guaranteed that they will finish 8th. So they will have to win this game and then hope that what Chelsea does in the league and in the Europa League goes in their, in the Conference League, sorry, goes in their favour. But yeah, I wouldn't love the Cunha pick for this week.
Sell, Jules, would you sell?
Yeah, it's very simple. It's a bit like Trent. If you've got nothing to play for, may as well play somebody who you know will be there next season, who will be part of that team, part of that squad. It makes complete sense. So I would not be surprised again if Cunha doesn't play at all at the weekend.
I desperately need Bradley to start, so I hope you're right about that and that he doesn't try and give him one final swan song.
He will, for sure. No, that's okay, not going to happen.
I can't when he does one. He starts Bradley.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I certainly hope so. Okay, then let's move on to differential of the week, because as always, we've gone miles over. Is there any other players or teams you want to mention before I move on? Because I kind of lost track by the end, because as always, we go into our usual conversational selves and we kind of go from here to there to here to there. I think we've covered most bases, Sam. You're going to tell me?
Yeah, the only thing I'd... No, we haven't. The only thing I would say is that if you've got players in your team that aren't in those games that we've talked about, but they've got their final home fixture of the season, then they're also teams that I would like to target, because I think the final home game of the season, there's always a bit of an elevation of feeling, isn't there, around the stadium. The players do their clap at the end of the game and all that stuff. So if you've got players that aren't in these teams that we've been talking about that have got something to fight for, that's not necessarily the end of the world on the final day.
Yeah, Bournemouth, I just want to say as well,
On Liverpool and Mo Salah, I got so much abuse. Like, you would not believe after last week saying that Mo Salah was not very good right now, not in great form. So obviously, because he missed that sitter against Brighton as well on Monday night, I just wanted to say to all the abusers, including the ones who abuse my family, that it can happen. Even Mo Salah, the best player in the league this season by far, can have a bad patch where he doesn't score many goals. He's not in great form. So I hope he scores for you for the last week of the season, but there was just no need for the abuse.
Gosh, sorry, Jules, didn't realize you've been getting abused.
It's okay. I forgot. I really don't mind. But the point stands that Mo Salah is not in great form right now, as we saw on Monday night against Brighton. We still all have him and he's still great, but it can happen. So we just talked the truth last week. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Differential of the week time then. Last week, Sam came out on top and she followed through, didn't she? She said Jamie Vardy got 8 points with his 200th goal and 2 bonus points.
Yay.
And she lapped those points up for her team as well. Jules's differential also returned. Cash got 5 points with a clean sheet. But unfortunately, Sam pipped you to the post. So you can go first, Jules. Final one of the season. It all comes down to this.
So I would go for Evanilson. Bournemouth. We talked about the Bournemouth Leicester game, that they want to finish on a high. We saw him hitting the post against City on Tuesday night. I thought he played well, and yeah, City were cruising and they were 3-0 up, but I didn't think it was a bad performance from a Bournemouth team that has got nothing to play for anymore and is just having fun, but they would want to have a lot of fun at home. Only owned by 4.3% of the managers, it will cost you 5.8 million, so not too much, quite reachable, easy to get. And I know he's had a good season, I think, for a first season in England after coming from Portugal. A bit hit and miss at times, but I think this is going to be a big party for Bournemouth. I can see them scoring a lot of goals. And if they do, then I think Evanilson will be at the heart of it all.
Yep. If I wasn't really happy with my strikers in my team, he would be the one I would be going for, Sam.
I'm going to follow through on my Nottingham Forest Chelsea comments from earlier. I think, for me, Morgan Gibbs-White has been Nottingham Forest's, apart from the Chris Wood brilliance that we've had, Morgan Gibbs-White has been phenomenal this season. He's only owned by 7.1% of managers, which actually really surprised me when I looked at it. I was expecting him to be over 10%. It's going to cost you 6.5 million. I think, you know, Nottingham Forest, as we said earlier in this pod, they have to beat Chelsea on the final day if they want to stand a chance of getting into the Champions League places again, where they've been for pretty much all of the season last year. And I think if they do score in this one, which I expect they will, Gibbs-White will be involved. He goes into game week 38 on the back of successive double-digit hauls. He's got 17 attacking returns in his last 23 appearances for Nottingham Forest. And since game week 15, when this kind of purple patch that Gibbs-White is in right now started, only 3 midfielders in the game have more attacking returns than he does. So really phenomenal form from Gibbs-White. I kind of, there was a bit, the moment at the end of the game, the thing that sealed him being my diff was that right at the end of the game, there's this moment where he went over to the Forest fans and he's like holding his badge and he's going, we've got one more game. And I was like, yeah, you're in that mindset. So you'll be a great diff for this week.
Okay, well, just so you know, I must have said about 300 times on this podcast, it all comes down to this. With the differential, it actually does, because Sam and Jules have had the same number of successful picks this season. Sam has had more points hauls, so she's slightly up in terms of score. But Jules, yeah, it's 18 points. Is that right? 51, 61, 70. No, yeah. 28 points even. 28 points difference between the two of you. So Jules, you would need a mega haul. You can't overhaul her total, but you can get more successful picks.
Yeah.
So you could win, you could kind of level it up in terms of one or one successful picks and totals. Yeah, we'll update you as we always do in the final pod next week. Transfers and captains then. We've all got one transfer, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, we've all got one transfer. Jules, go on, take a -4, -8 even.
You know I would. Because again, like, you can take a -4. It doesn't have to be bad, because if the guy that you bring in does well, then it's worth it. Yeah, exactly. But the rule that everybody should follow is that William Saliba should always be in your squad, regardless of if he's injured, ill, on good form or not good form. But I even said to him, listen, for this game week, I need to catch Kelly Summers. He said, who? I said, don't worry. But I can't have you, okay? So I'm going to swap him for somebody else. And probably another Arsenal defender. So Calafiori, Kvyat, I don't know who really. I need to just think about it. But it will be another Arsenal defender. And for the captain, this could be decided between you and I, Kales. So I'm not sure yet who it could go. But I like the idea of Watkins away at United. I think that could be good. Or Mo Salah for all the abusers at home to Crystal Palace, you know, finishing on a high.
He feels like the standout option, but and I think most people probably will, but Jules is right, he doesn't have the form, does he? Oh, I don't know. Sam, which way are you leaning with both of these things?
Transfers, I'm probably just gonna leave Saliba on the bench. I can play Conor Bradley. I mean, I can have another round of Aaron Wan-Bissaka frustrating me and play him again when I shouldn't, but I'm probably just gonna play Conor Bradley this week instead. There are always very few clean sheets on the final day of the season. It's a high scoring game week, so I'm not gonna bother taking -4s to fix my defence. I'm just gonna let it be. I'm probably gonna do Saka in for De Bruyne. If Isak is injured, then I'll take a -4 and I'll get Watkins in.
Okay.
As well.
Wow. Interesting. I mean, I've taken -4s in back-to-back game weeks, so I can't do it again. That's -12 points. I might as well just hand Jules the finish above me. Okay, so that's where we're going to leave it. This is our final preview pod of the season. But of course, we're going to be back at the start of next week. The pod will be with you on Tuesday to review everything. It's coming out on Tuesday because, of course, we've got the games on Sunday. The fancy show will be out on Monday on the Premier League website and app. And then we'll be back with your final dose of FPL from us until pre-season, at least, on Tuesday. So make sure you do join us. The Fantasy Show will also be back this Friday too. I'm not exactly sure who's in the studio with me. I think it might be Az, but I mean, tune in to find out. And a reminder, your deadline, 2:30 p.m. on Sunday, because all of the games kick off at 4 p.m. So it's an hour and a half before, as always, all games at the very same time. The final day is always chaos, but it is why we love FPL. One final push, guys, to beat those people in your mini leagues and improve that rank. Thank you for listening to us each and every week. We'll be back to review it all next week. Have a good one. Bye.